Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, here's a question for tonight. So we have a Chet HaEgel at the end of last week's parsha. Two major events take place following the Chet HaEgel. The first major event is that Moshe, after praying for forgiveness on behalf of the Jewish people that they should not be destroyed, is successful in that plea, goes back up to Har Sinai, 40 days, 40 nights, and receives the second set of luchos, comes back and gives Klal Yisrael the Torah after on Yom Kippur. So that the moment that the world has been waiting for, the moment that Chazal say in numerous places, the whole world is simply there for the Jewish people's acceptance of the Torah, takes place on Yom Kippur, about 80 or so days following the Chet HaEgel. Several days after that, the construction of the Mishkan ensues, and when the Mishkan is completed, and then following the construction of the Mishkan, the Shekhinah returns and dwells amongst the Jewish people with the Mishkan. Of those two, which one would you say would testify to the Jewish people that they have been forgiven for the chet? Which one and why? The fact they clearly there was a problem. They're dancing around the golden calf. The luchos are broken. They don't receive. They don't deserve the Torah. They don't get it. Moshe goes back up. He comes back with the Torah. They build the Mishkan. The Shekhinah returns. Which of those two would be the indication that the Jewish people are looking for, that the problem that they had with the Chet HaEgel has been resolved and they've been forgiven, and why?
I would say not the Torah, because the options are Torah and Mishkan.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say Mishkan, because even when Hashem sent Moshe down, Constantine was saying, like, there was already a problem, and he still let Moshe go with the luchos. Like, there wasn't, he didn't say leave the luchos here and go down to the people. Moshe got to go.
Okay, so even though Moshe ends up, and it's interesting, even though Moshe ends up breaking the luchos, but from Hashem's perspective, he was okay sending Moshe down with the luchos. No. Interesting answer. Good.
Mishkan.
Yeah, why? So why would you say it's a Mishkan? You can go with the Ramban if you like. Why would the Mishkan be more of a sign of forgiveness than the fact that they received the Torah?
He kind of says, he's going on the question of whether the Mishkan would have been.
I saw him dwell on it.
The Ramban is the one who holds that the Mishkan was always supposed to be there, even without the Chet HaEgel.
So
it's less of a reason. And the Shekhinah returns is more significant than the Torah because.
Well, he says that it would have.
Okay, meaning the Shekhinah represented by the Mishkan is the soul, so to speak, of the book of the Torah.
Right. I mean, in essence, the Torah is meant to worship the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is God, and that's the Torah's our connection towards God. So if we have an actual way to connect with Him in a building of sorts, shouldn't that kind of trump the idea?
The Torah. Okay.
Not trump it, but almost a precedent.
Say Mishkarasa?
Yeah.
And why?
I don't know. Where do we think that's Shofim Tam Tov? Shof Tuma Sam? Where is that from?
That I'll dwell within their Tuma?
Yeah.
Yeah, where?
I don't know where that phrase is. Is that from Gemara? Is that like a Parish Pasuk or something? I don't know where the phrase is from.
Not sure.
We definitely have that idea.
Which phrase?
I will dwell amongst them even within their purity. And therefore, that's your argument. Why?
No, that's clearly that. Whoever says that, has clearly shows that the Mishkan is the representation of that. The Mishkan.
You mean supposed to be there anyways, or
no? The Mishkan is how you see that God dwells in our midst, even though we're imperfect, which is why they're just what was going on here.
Okay, meaning that when we sin, it leaves us again.
Right.
And even though when we sinned, it wouldn't be with us, then it's the sign that when we returned, it came back.
Hashem is still around.
Okay.
So what about today? Like, the Mishkan became the base of redemption.
Right. So while we're in a state of imperfection, it's not going to be with us. But we can always get back to that state, and then that will be the sign that we've returned.
We still have the Torah. We don't have Mishkan.
Correct. That would have been my argument for the Torah. In other words, the fact that we've been forgiven is that we get the Torah again. In other words, the whole world would have come to an end. The Chazal say in numerous places, if you wouldn't have received the Torah, like the whole world was waiting for this moment. Without that moment, it's back to tohu vavo, it's back to nothingness, void, lack of anything. There's a Medrash that even says that at the final Geula, when we return to Eretz Yisrael, after 2,000 years of exile, Hashem is going to say, like, how did you manage without me all of these years? How did you do it? And the Medrash darshins the Pasuk in Echa, Zois Ashiv Alibi, this I will place on my heart, those from the Zois HaTorah, only through holding on to the Torah I'll be able to maintain myself. So there's certainly clearly a significance to that. I don't need to prove that point. But, okay, any other votes? Are you looking up where this from?
Yeah.
Did you find it?
Yes. I the computer.
If only we were up to the stage where I could have like a computer chip in your brain, and then I wouldn't have to wait this long. I would just, you'd just be able to spit it out right away.
My brain.
Hey, any votes for third? Any other votes?
We
what do you say?
A trademark on it.
And therefore the sign that they were forgiven is the fact that they were connected to that Torah.
You're saying not the Torah because it was their agency.
Yeah, well, if we did the creation.
Are you saying not, therefore not the Torah? Because then that doesn't, even though they were given
the
Torah
that before, the Torah was also given before.
It wasn't given to the Jewish people before, it just existed in its spiritual state, whatever that is.
Leviticus 16:16.
Isn't the
Mishnah
the
someone's
isn't it a vehicle?
Did you find it from a Christian side or a Jewish side?
Wikipedia,
yeah,
I don't know.
Jews for something. I don't know.
I don't know what
internet.
Isn't the Mishnah a vehicle for redeeming, for resolving sins, for having a way of doing that, independent of Moshe or anybody? You know, it's the way that we move past the mistakes that we were designed to make.
Yeah,
I don't know if that proves that a point, but I mean it's
okay. This is what Rashi says. Rashi says as follows: in the beginning of Pekudei, the second of our two parashas of this week, the Torah refers to the Mishkan as the Mishkan Ha'idus, Mishkan of testimony. Now, this is not the only thing that's called Eidus. There's something else which is called Eidus, which are the Luchos Ha'edus, which is referred to twice previously in Sefer Shmos. The Luchos are called the Luchos of Testimony, and the Mishkan is called, it's called in the, good question, both times are before Moshe comes down the first time. So one, both in two different places, when the Torah is describing Moshe still on Har Sinai, describes he's received the Luchos Ha'edus, and then the second time it says, and he starts going down the mountain with the Luchos Ha'edus in his hand. So they're called the Luchos Ha'edus on a mountain, and now here, post all of these events, the Mishkan is referred to as the Mishkan Ha'edus.
Is that why the pair of Luchos, like two?
So, the excellent. There are those who say that, yes. Because testimony isn't two. The question is, what's it testifying to? But yes. So, what's the
why there are two people take it?
How much they fair than was
Luchos? Yeah, well, it's plural. It's plural. Shnei Luchos, yeah. Yeah, Shnei Luchos Abris. Okay, so it says Rashi, why is the Mishkan called the Mishkan of Eidus? Why is the Mishkan of this week's parasha referred to as the Mishkan of Testimony? What is it testifying to? Says Rashi, Sheviter lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maisa HaEgel, that Hashem has forgiven them on the sin of the golden calf, Sheharei Hishra Shechinaso Benei, because He allowed His presence to dwell amongst them. So Rashi is clear, which stage of the game do the people know that they've been forgiven? When they receive the Torah on Yom Kippur for the second time, where it actually gets to their hands, or several days later with the return of the Shechina. Rashi is clear, they don't know that they've been forgiven. Giving the Torah doesn't say it to them. When do they know they've been forgiven? When is the testimony? Only with the Shechina. The Maral has this following explanation, a fascinating explanation as to why. Says the Maral, the Torah itself doesn't prove that. Because at the end of the day, says the Maral, the Torah is an ol. It's a yoke. It's a burden. Torah is hard. The end of the day, keeping the Torah is difficult. He says, Haraya, what's my proof? He says, at Har Sinai, Chazal tells us Hashem picked up the mountain and held it over their heads and said, if you accept this Torah, things will be great. But if not, finished. There's an element of onus. There's an element of being forced into it. Because it's an O. At the end of the day, it just is. Now, we can choose to make it sweet. We can choose to see the sweetness and its eternity, but it is difficult. And something that's difficult isn't going to prove, because the fact that it was held over our mountains is a sense of you have to have, the world can't exist with such clarity that they saw that without the Torah. Morel discusses this when he talks about Shavuos. What Shavuos referred to in the Torah? If Pesach is, we have...
Pentecostal.
Could be. Well, let's say in Chazal. Pesach is the Zman... We're talking from Chazal and our Siddurs. Right, Pesach is the Zman Chereseinu, Sukkot is... And Shavuos is... Mountain Chereseinu. Does it say anywhere in the Torah itself that Shavuos is connected with the giving of the Torah? So the Morale points out, which the kind of thing that you never pay attention to because you never actually read through the whole thing looking for it from getting tense, you always assume it's somewhere else. There is nowhere in the Torah that would give you any hint that the Yontif of Shavuos is connected to Kabbalah Satorah. This doesn't say that that's what happened on the day that you celebrate the Yontif. Pesach is clear. You read through the story and Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this day you left from Mitzrayim and there for 7 days you'll make me a Yontif and you'll eat matzah. It's like clear that it's connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sukkah says, "Naman Yedu Dorasechem." You should always know that I kill Shavtias Bnei Yisrael Basu. That that is where they live. Shavuos doesn't say why we're celebrating the holiday. We have some agricultural connections. The Torah doesn't say celebrate the Yom Tov because I gave you the Torah. Chazal made the connection and they said, "Well, it's exactly 50 days after Pesach, and they worked out that's exactly when the Torah was given." It's Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Torah doesn't say that. Well, do you know why? What else is because the Torah is hard. It's hard. It's physically difficult to keep mitzvahs. The Torah can't say, celebrate a holiday, be joyous, when I gave you a yoke. I gave you a burden. I have to hold it over the mountain over your head for you to accept it, and then I should tell you to celebrate? Can't do that. So I made an agricultural holiday. And that's the answer. Chazal figured out this is the time that we receive the Torah. We can make it, says the Maral, into a yontiv of celebrating the Torah. That has to come from us, that we recognize it for what it is, we see it for what it is, and we can say there is no greater day than the day that we receive the Torah. There's no greater sweetness than sitting and learning Torah. We'll celebrate it as the Zman Matan Torah said, but the Torah can't force you to celebrate that which is a burden.
I mean, technically, once we accept it on Purim, then it should be fine, right?
That's what we celebrate for.
I mean, we celebrate Purim probably because it's time to turn the month on Thursday, but...
Correct. Meaning, what should be... There is what...
Maybe retroactive, yeah. Maybe the time is being, Torah being given and Purim. Maybe that's the reason why they actually needed to say that the Torah... That we re-accepted it with this level of actually we want to do it at this point because they maybe weren't able to celebrate in that same way, but at this point, maybe in our history that we do... We are to celebrate Shavuos as Matan Torah Seinu.
So then it would be a funny thing to celebrate that on Shavuos and not on Purim. No, Shavuos was the giving of the first Luchos, which we never even received. No, we're celebrating on Shavuos, Kabbalah Satorah. What happened on Shavuos, Kabbalah Satorah? Like it didn't work out so well.
Right.
Like Moshe goes up, but when he comes back down on Shavuos HaVetamos, and that Torah never made it to us. We never received the Torah that Moshe that happened on Shavuos. didn't make it to us. Moshe goes back up, and Yom Kippur, 3-4 months later, that we finally actually receive it. So the Morale writes, therefore, when Hashem gives Klal Yisrael the Torah, that doesn't prove that He's forgiven us. That just proves that in the same way that the world couldn't exist without the Torah, so it's still, it had to be given, and He gives it to us even though we've sinned. But that doesn't tell us that we've been forgiven. But the Shechina is a different story. The Divine Presence, the Morale writes in his language, Ein Adam Dar Eitzel So. No person doesn't live with a person he hates. You don't want to do that. Nobody does that.
Some people do that.
Usually, I mean, only if you can't get out of it.
That's what common means.
That's how you get divorced.
Right? Right? That's exactly right. I don't like you anymore. I don't want to live with you anymore. That's exactly the concept of I live with people I love. I don't like to live with people I don't love. So the fact that the Shekhinah returns is significant, says it all, because prior to that, when they were dancing around a golden calf, it's almost like it was an idolatrous kind of relationship, which is similar to an adulterous kind of relationship. And here you have the Jewish people connecting with something else. A woman who has an adulterous affair with someone else can't become married to her original husband. It's all over. For Hashem to say, I will allow my presence, I will accept the fact that you are not perfect, and despite the fact that in human relationships a woman who has an adulterous relationship cannot return, I will say there are certain individuals involved and they got what's coming to them, they're out, but the rest of the people, I will allow my presence to return, is the sign of forgiveness. It's the difference between a master-servant relationship and a husband-wife relationship. When Hashem gave us the Torah on Yom Kippur, following the chait of the ego, He said, I'm still going to make you my servants, and I'm still going to be your master. That relationship, you didn't even deserve that. Hashem, Moshe prays just that you shouldn't be destroyed. It goes back up for 40 days. Okay, I'll give you the Torah again. So that only created a master-servant relationship. It's when the Mishkan begins to be built, and the Shekhinah returns, that recreates a husband-wife relationship. That's a totally different story. You can have a slave that you don't necessarily like, and did something wrong, and you'll take him back. But the sign of forgiveness is when you reestablish a much closer, more intimate relationship. That sign of the divine presence coming back, therefore says, and all that's why Rashi specifically says on the Mishkan of Eidus is testimony to the fact that they've been forgiven. Torah itself is too hard. It's a burden, it's difficult, it's not easy. We can make it sweet, but it's a burden. It creates a servant's relationship and not a sign of forgiveness. So why is the Torah called the Luchos HaEdus? That's what I was bothered by after seeing this Maral.
We were the Luchos HaEdus,
so that
we were.
So the Luchos were the Edus. The Luchos was the Edus. They were you asked me the question. They were referred to as the Luchos HaEdus before the Chet HaEgel. The Or Chaim writes, I saw that it's a testimony to the fact that it was God given. They're like, how do you know that the Torah is God given?
Because there was two Luchos.
So that wouldn't really prove it, except for the fact. And I spoke in the JFNCS this week. I did the cultural sensitivity training on Orthodox Jews. That's supposed to be about 40 people, about 35 of whom were Jews, and only one of them was Orthodox. And I was going through, you know, cultural training, cultural diversity training, multicultural sensitivity on what it's like to be an Orthodox Jew. That is, they work with the Orthodox community, they're like sensitive to the issues that are unique to the Orthodox community. So one of the things that I focused on and went back to all the time with every other point that I said was an Orthodox Jew is living his life based on a divine set of rules. That's something unique, that if you believe that, if a person lives his life that way, that's going to impact a lot of things. I can't remember if I said this, but I don't think I did last week, but you know the Barron High School in Houston, I'm sure everybody followed that story, the high school boys, right? They made it to the Final Four of their state championship of the state, and in their parochial league, and all the games are on Shabbos because it's a parochial league, so they don't play games on Sunday, so they schedule all their games for, not all the games, the championship games, the Final Four were both scheduled for Shabbos. They didn't want to play. Became a whole stink in the whole country. ESPN covered the whole story.
Van Gundy called.
Then a bunch of people called. So eventually they played. My brother-in-law was the principal of the school in the Barron Academy. So he was interviewed by like everybody. There was like no school for a week because there were just reporters calling around.
The school didn't want us. They
made an agreement when they joined the league. The league said, "You can join. We want you to know that our Final Four is always on Friday night and Saturday afternoon, always every year." And the Barron school said, "Fine."
We're not going
to play in the Final Four anyway. Don't worry about it. They were the first Orthodox school in the country to ever make it that high. Right. So the school didn't want to get involved, and they left it alone. The parents didn't want the little tzatzkalos to have made it so far and not be able to play. They took it to the courts, and the courts forced them basically to play the game. So anyway, so the reporters, when they were interviewing my brother-in-law, said, we can't believe that the boys decided to honor their Sabbath and not play. That's like so amazing.
They don't go on Shabbos.
That there are these high school kids that made that decision. And my brother in law said the way they didn't get, it wasn't a decision that they made. The team like didn't get together.
What should we do?
And have like, you know, like that's this guy, like, what should we do? Should we play? Should we not play? And like six of them said, we need to play. One time exception, we're gonna do it. And the other one said, no, we can't. And they went back and forth. And there was no decision. Game was scheduled for Friday night, and we're gonna play on Shabbos. And like, we don't play basketball on Shabbos. Like, they might play in their backyards, but we don't play formal basketball games on Shabbos.
We don't play with the scoreboard.
Right. We just, anyone do it. It's not a decision. And so that's, if it's divine, it's like, that's the end of the story. Like, what am I going to do? Like, I didn't make up these rules. Like, kosher is kosher, Shabbos is Shabbos, and finished. There's nothing to talk about. Now, obviously, as human beings, we struggle with religion, we struggle with the halacha, we struggle with mitzvahs, but the concept of it is like, the way that it is. So the luchos are ages. So how do you know it's divine? Like, the whole premise is, I didn't make this up. Chazal didn't make this up. God made this up. Well, how do you know that? If we're basing, like, we're doing a lot of wacky things. Pesach is coming. We're going to, like, turn our houses upside down and eat matzah for a week. How do we know? So, the Or Chaim, right, that's what it means, luchos ha'edus. The luchos themselves were testimony because everything about the luchos was miraculous. When you looked at the luchos, from the way the letters were engraved, and you could see all the way through them from both sides, and it didn't seem to make sense, and the mem had the little block in the middle that would just float. The luchos themselves...
I thought it was one of those first...
The first set was our edus that it was that way. I don't believe that happened for the second, that's true, but he writes that first set was our first... When Moshe came down, that was supposed to be the testimony to the fact that it is that way. They ask a good question. So the second ones didn't happen, and that's the one that we received. Good question.
Those aren't possible.
That's when it was called.
I don't. Yeah.
We still have those first ones.
We do have the first ones. That's true. All
right.
They were in the Aron, the Shifrei Haluchos, the broken pieces. But that's how he understands the Luchos of the Eidus was a testimony of its divine nature. The Mishkan Ha'edus, as Rashi says, was a testimony that we've been forgiven. And when the divine presence returns, that's how we know that we were forgiven. There's a Vilna Gaon, which is really Sukkot's Torah, but he holds that the Shechina returned on Sukkot. Yom Kippur was Moshe comes down with the second Luchos. And then they start to build a Mishkan. The 11th of Tishrei, Moshe puts out the call, we need to gather stuff. And the 12th and the 13th, people gathered. And the 14th, he said, it's enough. And the 15th of Tishrei, they started to build. And when they started to build, the Shechina returned. And that's the clouds of glory that we celebrate Sukkot time. Not the clouds that we left Mitzrayim with, but the actual Shechina that happened on Sukkot with the building of the Mishkan, which was the sign that even though we failed, and even though we had failed pretty miserably, but the Shechina was still going to be with us and could still return. And that was where the Yontif of Sukkot comes from. And that's the testimony of the Eidus. But not the Torah. The Torah itself is a different story. The Torah is Hechrech. It has to be that way. It doesn't serve as that type of testimony. So says the Maharal.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.